I have instructions to be short. And, well, actually, no, I made those instructions up. So I've instructed myself to be short. Because I kind of figured you guys might want to party a bit at the end. So that's the plan. I got my little program here. So we're going to try and finish on time. I have to say, and is Esther Scholes here as well? Is Esther Scholes here? Yeah, we were like swapping tweets in the week. We're going like, because we remember doing youth holidays together. Not as teenagers, because she's a lot younger than me. Just like point that out, just to make sure they don't think you're my age. And we used to lead them together. And we were like, really, we want to go away with you guys and be youth leaders again. It's so much fun. Saying that, we really did have a great day yesterday with the marriage course. And all the guys that didn't do that, we really, really enjoyed that. But part of me is a bit jealous of all the youth leaders. I know for some of the adults here, you're just glad to get rid of them. It's great. Some parents have said it's been great. Now, even publicly, they've said it's great. I'm sure they want you back now, but they do, yes. It's been great. Yeah, there's lots of work to do now. But it is half term, and I hope you guys have all been praying for the young people. Can I just say, if the young people just don't listen to this for a second, all the adults here, because the youth leaders will do this anyway, this week we're praying for our young people. You know, many of them will have made decisions over this last 3 days. Some will have made, you know, perhaps the decision to follow Jesus for the first time, or some recommitments, or various things in their life that God's spoken to them. Pray for them this week. I'm not here next Sunday, so Dave, can you remind everybody next Sunday? Next Monday morning, church, let's all of us just spend 5 minutes. You know, with a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, or breakfast time, spend 5 minutes saying, God, today is our young people go back to school. The decisions they've made, pray that God will empower them to keep them when they get back to school. And you young people, do it for each other. You know, you've been hanging out, do it for each other, and you'll be praying for each other when you go back to school. Say, hey, I'm going to pray for my friends, and that all of them, the decisions that you've made together, that you stay together and stick through. You know, I love young people. It's something that Michelle and I have a passion for. We've been youth leaders before we did that. And I'm believing for these young people that they'll go and storm Satan's kingdom. And they're gonna do things that we wished we'd done. Well, just a bit late on the show type thing, but they'll go and do some amazing things, that they'll do even better things than we've possibly done, in Jesus' name. Excellent. It is good to have you back. Well, Pastor Dave started this morning a brand new series. It's called In God We Trust. And the passion behind this is to really help each one of us become the people that God's made us to be. And we believe it begins by having a relationship in God. And actually, beginning that relationship, which I'll come on to later in my message, but it involves about having a relationship, beginning that relationship, and then developing it. And what we want to do over the next few weeks is really introduce more of God to you. Now, we're only going to scratch the surface. You know, in our entire lives of studying and spending time with God, we're only going to scratch the surface of who God is. You know, we can think forever on who God is. And for those of you who've tried to figure out who God is, I don't know about you, but my brain hurts after a while. Because some of the things about him, and I'll share one or two tonight, you just go like, it's too big for my brain to get its head around. But we want to kind of expand your understanding of him with the hope and prayer that as we do that, it will deepen your love and your faith and your trust in God himself. And from that place, you can then stride out into new and greater things and understand your God better. And we're going to do that, and we're also going to link, hopefully every week, smoothly, a promise. So we're going to have a look at part of God's character, part of his personality, link it into a promise, and then we're going to try and apply it to our lives. What difference does that characteristic of God, that promise, make in our lives? And my prayer is that as we do this, each one of us every week would go out encouraged and emboldened and more faith-filled than when we entered the place. God's character is unchangeable, and his promises are unbreakable. Let's pray, and then we'll get into that subject. Father, I want to thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you that he came and he lived and he died on the cross. I thank you that he rose again. He died to take away my punishment. He rose again to prove that I can live in hope, that I can live in freedom, that I can live with a real and true relationship with God. And God, our prayer is tonight for each one of us that we may realize that, and Father, that we may live in that. And that tonight as we live in it, you come and speak to us. You change us from the inside out. Father, those of us who love you, our hearts cry is, God, do not leave us the same. May we be changed. May we be more like the people we're supposed to be. May we understand you more. May we understand others more, this world more. But Father, come and change us. And Father, we pray, if there's any here who don't know you, who've yet to begin to follow you, become your disciple, we pray this may be the night where they say, yes, God, I will follow you. I'll begin to understand you and walk in your ways and enter that amazing life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to read a few verses. This is chapter 3. We're going to start reading from verse 11. Exodus 3 is the moment where Moses, the guy who leads the Israelites out of Egypt, encounters God really for the first time personally. And it's a bit of a shock. He sees his bush burning and it's not burning up. And he goes across to investigate, and God calls down to the bush. And I just think this chapter 3 doesn't really sum up how Moses must have felt. Because let's face it, if you go to a bush that's not burning up and it speaks to you, you'd be freaked. You go, that's really weird. And do you know, my first feeling is if a bush spoke to me, I wouldn't think, oh, that's obviously God. Because you wouldn't, would you? Would you? Would you really? Seriously? If you saw a burning bush go and it said hi, you'd go like, hi, God. You wouldn't do that, would you? You go, that's weird. You would? And you think, I've been set up. That will be my second thought by one of my illustrious colleagues. And it's kind of fixed. But so he doesn't really unpack really how Moses felt. And you can imagine yourselves how Moses was feeling. But if you go to verse 11, they've done the sort of introduction bit. And then and Moses has understood it is God. And he's kind of got used to that. And then God says this. Well, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said to him, I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this very mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? I.e., what is the characteristic that I can tell the people of Israel that they will understand that I've actually met the God who their ancestors worship? What's the thing that will convince them? What should I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, all in the present tense, he is the God of those, has appeared to me, and I have watched over you and have seen you. God says, tell them, I am. God is the great I am. Or more precisely, God is. God just is. Now, for the next 5 minutes, I want you to really concentrate hard, and occasionally your brain's going to pop slightly, but that's okay, all right? Bear with me. Is that okay? Yeah. Just put your hand up if that's okay. That's most of it, that's good. Now you just need to bear with me. Because the idea that God is mind-blowing. It's kind of out of our perception. We can't understand, because time to us is time. And we cannot understand what was and what is, and that there will be a future and past. And the idea that God just is just bizarre, because it's just not within the way that we think. But the Bible just presumes that's who God is. It doesn't actually argue the case that God is eternal or God has been around forever. It just presumes it. In fact, the closest it gets is John 5, verse 26, because it says that God has life in himself. That's as close as it gets, that God has life in himself. Just doesn't argue the case. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 talk about that God is a living God and all of the gods are dead gods. But it doesn't really prove anything apart from to state that God is a living God. We know that God existed before creation, because it says in Genesis 1, in the beginning was God, and then he did stuff. So the presumption is there was nothing but God, and then God said something, and then everything happened. It's called eternal. Jeremiah 10:10 talks about he's the eternal king. Romans 1:20 says he's got eternal power. 1 John 5:20 said he's the true God and the eternal life. It just argues that he is. I can't understand that. Now, you ready for a bit of philosophy? Yeah? You okay with a bit of... Don't. It's fine. It's going to be fine. Just stay with me. I can see you going like, oh, no. Because you see, it would seem, how can God have always been? Well, I just need to let you know that the greatest scientists on earth are comfortable with things always being. Because it's a logical conclusion to the universe. Okay? Are you following this? Just stay with it. I'm trying this really simply, okay? You see, for scientists to believe that the universe is, they have to believe that the universe always has been. Because if they don't believe the universe always has been, you following this? Then something must have happened to cause the universe to be. You following this? You're still good. And if something happened to cause the universe to be, then that must be God. Or somebody like God. And because most of the world doesn't want to believe that God exists, they have to believe that it's always been. Does that make sense? For those of you who didn't get that, I'm not going to do it again because it's too complicated. So you can come and ask me afterwards. So actually, people have no trouble believing that eternity or eternal, something's been there forever. So if you're trying to, I don't understand it. I just want you to be comfortable with the fact that it's okay to accept it and then move on. Is that okay? God, is your brain hurting? I've got just a few more yet. Okay. So God is eternal. That's kind of my first point. The second thing is that God is self-sustaining. Paul says in Acts 17, verse 25, that God needs nothing from us to sustain him. He doesn't need anything from us, and he doesn't need us to serve him. He's just self-existing. Which sounds a bit tough, because it means he doesn't need any of us. Okay? But that's quite a healthy thing for us to realize. I'll come on to the reason why in a second. If we can realize that God doesn't need us, it actually helps us understand where we are in the presence to God. And then further down the track, it helps us understand how amazing it is that God actually counts us as worthy. Because you see, you can't truly understand how much God thinks about you before you understand how much actually you don't need to matter to God at all. Is your brain doing okay? I can see Sophie there. Sophie stood there going like, as long as Sophie's nodding, I'm kind of happy. Okay, so are you nodding, Sophie? No, Sophie's nodding, so we're good. So God, it's good to know Sophie well. Okay. God also doesn't live in a world of ifs. Do you know how, because it's eternal, he doesn't live in a world of ifs. So do you know, we say, you know, if I'm okay, I'm going to travel tomorrow to London. You know, or if the young people back there, something on your, if I do well at my exams, I'll go to this university or I'll get this job. And we live in a world of ifs. Because God lives eternally, he doesn't live in the world of ifs. Because he's always got time to do everything. And that's kind of cool when it relates back to us. It's why when we all pray, he can listen to all of us. Because he's not limited by the ifs, because he's eternal. You good? But the final thing about God is this. Even though he's eternal, he's self-sustaining, he doesn't live in the world of ifs, he doesn't need us, he still, in his nature, created us to relate to him. Despite all that I just said, he still decided to make you and me so we can relate to him and have a relationship with him. And if you follow what I said so far, you should go like, well, why did he do that? Why, if he was happy on his own, if he was self-sustaining, if he was eternal, why did he bother making you and me? And the answer is, because he just wanted you and me to exist. He wanted you and me to know love. He wanted you and me to know value and purpose. You see, when he created us, he did it all for us, not for him. Does that make sense? Ah, if that doesn't make sense, if you don't like, come on, go away and think about it. Go away and talk about it and begin to understand how important and how amazing you are. Because all his love, all his energy is focused, because he doesn't need anything from you. And all his love is poured out to you, not on himself, because he doesn't need to, because he's self-sustaining. Always looking worried. You can come and ask me tomorrow. But if we truly understand how eternal God is and how sustaining he is, and then we figure out that he still made us anyway, we go, wow. We just go, wow, that's incredible. That he would bother, he would think about that. That he would create the whole of the known universe so that we could just exist and be and enjoy life with him. And not just that, but he gives us a reason to live. We have a reason to live in relating to him, but also on earth we have a purpose in helping others find him. And so even though he's eternal and doesn't need us, he's included us in his salvation plan, and he's given us a reason to live, even though he doesn't need to. Are you good with that lot? If you weren't, you need to get the podcast, listen to it a few times, and if you're really stuck, talk to your Connect Group leader. If you can grow... unless she's Olga. And possibly Sophie. Or Alex. But apart from that, you'd be good. They put their hands up. I didn't pick them. But you see, God is eternal, and that blows our mind. But if we can begin to understand both the insignificance and therefore the significance of us, you'll realize who you are more and more in God. And you'll go like, wow, he didn't need to, but he did anyway. And that's like, that's for me, that's an incredible thought. That even though he didn't need to, he created me and counted me in his kingdom. He calls me loved and precious. He calls me amazing and great and awesome. He didn't need to, but he does because he just wants to. So there's no need, but he did it anyway. And I'm like, think about it. That's your homework if you don't get that. I need to think about it. But the Bible promises us that because God is eternal, that we can also be eternal. If you go back into Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, you read the creation story. It says this, Genesis 2, verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die. And in the garden was a tree of life. Basically, a tree that when mankind, either pictorially or real, when they ate of it, meant they were going to live forever. You see, God created us to live eternally. We would not have a past, but we'd always have a future. That's what it was supposed to be like in the Garden of Eden. I.e., when he made us in his image, he put something of eternity in our souls. It's why death feels so wrong. Because we weren't supposed to die. None of us were supposed to die. We're supposed to live forever. But God says that if we don't, then we will die. Where's that? That's right. So verse 17, you must not even stream knowledge, otherwise that you will surely die from it. And then in chapter 3, we find that the first Adam and Eve, that they eat from the tree and then death enters into their life. But the promise is through Jesus is that we can once again have eternal life. We can once again live forever. John 3, verse 16 is a very famous verse. Who can quote it? John 3:16. The rest of you need to learn it. But John 3:15 is also a very important verse. And it says, this. No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man, i.e. Jesus. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted, i.e. must be killed on the cross, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he sent his only Son. But he came so that we may have eternal life. The eternal life that we lost when we rebelled against God, could be restored to us. If you're a believer, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, if you're following him, then eternal life is your gift from him forevermore, given because of what Jesus did. It's the original promise re-given to us because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. The promise of eternal life for all who believe in and follow him. And it's guaranteed because of the nature of God. Which means, it's just cool. It means that we can start now living in that eternal life. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God. You can access heaven now. You can go and enter into the presence of God and pray. You can have a new hope and a new plan. You can go and enter abundant life. You can also avoid hell. Do you know what I said? To truly understand who we are is to understand who we're not. To truly understand what heaven means, we need to at least grasp a little bit about what hell is like. And the Bible talks that hell is a place where there's no God, where there's no love, and where, I guess, our worst nightmares will happen. When I was 12, there was a visiting speaker from Cliff College, and he gave a full-blown talk on heaven and hell. And he described hell in pretty horrible ways. And at the end of the message, he said, which one do you want to choose? And I'm thinking at 12, that's a dumb question. I want to pick heaven. And so when he said, who wants to pick heaven? I'm like, yep, that's me. And I meant it. And church, you know, in one sense, when we say yes to God and we say, you know, I want to have a relationship, we also avoid all the consequences of hell. And we don't like talking about it because it's depressing. And it is depressing. But we need to realize that we've been rescued from hell into God's presence and into heaven. And just occasionally, I think for some of us, we forget. We forget that there is a place called hell. It's a real place. Jesus describes it in Matthew 25. There's a story of the sheep and the goats, and the sheep are Jesus' disciples, and the goats aren't, and the goats go to hell, into eternal punishment, and the sheep go into the eternal life. And the two real places. And I just want to remind you of that. It might just stir you to share your story with a few more people. People that you love and you care for. People that haven't got eternal life yet, but need eternal life. God is. And because we're in him, we are as well. We are in this eternal life. But it should have a few consequences. That's a theory. You're glad the theory's done? Good. Reconnect group leaders will have to re-listen to that lot and then go and ask some questions. So God is eternal and we are. And that has some consequences for your life. Consequence number one is this. We need to start chilling as Christians. Okay? We need to start chilling. I meet far too many stressed Christians. I get far too stressed. And the thing about, you know, this is a gift, it's a promise, it's a gift because of what Jesus said. God has given you eternal life, therefore it's yours. And you can stop stressing. God has everything covered in eternity. He's not an if God. He can do everything because he's God in eternity. He's not limited by anything because he has eternity. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 6, it says, do not worry, 25 to 27, God has it covered. He even counts the hairs on your head. He knows you. He's got it covered. I stress far too much, don't I, love? Occasionally, yes. You stress far too much. The first understanding, if we have eternal life, chill. Whatever happens on earth is a minuscule little snidging of time in all of eternity. It just is. And we get so concerned about the moments or the days. And God says, yeah, but, you know, 1,000 years to me is a day. You know, oh, okay. So what am I, a couple of hours long? And God goes, yeah, pretty much. And all that worrying about that for 2 hours worth of worrying, just chill. Just chill. And I sometimes have to drive in the car and I'm getting really I was going through town. Has anybody tried to get through town recently? It's a flipping nightmare. You know, and I was coming back from Blackpool this morning and I noticed that there was a queue on the M6. I thought, tonight, I'll boss it. You know, I'll go through Longridge and through Ribbleton and I'll miss the traffic. I hit every flipping red light all the way through town. It took me almost 40 minutes and the traffic wasn't that bad. And there's a road closed, isn't there? It's just so annoying. It really is annoying. And I have to tell myself, now, I'm sure you don't get road rage. Ever. I've got to tell myself, chill, Ed. You know, God has it covered. It's not worth stressing about red traffic lights. It's just not. But I have to tell myself. You see, eternal life, if we can grasp it, voice isn't quite broken yet. Yeah. Jonathan, this is what your voice will be like in a bit. It just never quite. Anyway. Oh. What? You've gone through that stage. I've not, I'm still young. Anyway, if we can grasp what eternal life means, we will chill. Because whatever is happening in our lives is temporary. And in God's perspective, it's very, very temporary. And we can chill. Honestly, so many of you get so stressed and make such a big deal. And in one sense, they are a big deal. But if we can just view things from eternity, we'll go like, oh, actually, they're not such a big deal. Even the biggest things that we go through, if we can view them from eternity, and the fact that we also live in eternity with God as a free gift, we'll just chill. We'll just go, it's going to be okay. God has it covered. And you see, as I'm studying this, I'm saying, Ed, you've got to chill more. You've got to get eternity in your life and start living from that perspective more and more. Because I know if I do that, it'll change so much. I'll be much more of a cheerful chap for you. And I won't get stressed quite as much as what I do now. Most of you don't know me, do you? But I can get quite irritated about things. In fact, I can get very irritated about things occasionally. Yes, my wife's laughing. But you're just the same. And I want to encourage you to think, as you think about this subject, go, hold on a minute. Whatever the issue is, however big it may seem, I'm going to put it back in the light of eternity, back in the light that I'm going to spend the majority of my life by a huge margin, 99.999% of my life in eternity. And there's just a small part down here on earth. And as you do that, as you begin to think like that, think how God thinks, you will go, hey, it's okay. God has it covered. I can just relax. It's a moment in a very, very, very long time of my life. Second thing, I hope it causes you to do, is you'll go, you know, I have to share this. If you grasp it, you'll share it. It's why I did some of the dull stuff. Because let's face it, hell's dull. Hell's not something you want to think about. But if we think about eternity and the choices, and there is eternal life and eternal death. As we ponder these things, we go, actually, I need to tell people about this. You know, when I think about it, I think, actually, I need to tell my friends. Now, I come from a very blessed family. All my cousins are Christians. Well, the whole lot of them, which is amazing. Bar one, but we're praying for her very, very hard. They're all Christians, but I have friends who don't know Jesus yet. And when Jesus comes and he separates the sheep from the goats, eternity is a really, really, really long time. And he causes me to think, hold on a minute, and I can't name them before you because that would be rude of me, but you know, it's really important they know and hear about what Jesus has done. If you can ponder on eternity and the length of it and the fact that you choose to accept it from Jesus, then you think, actually, other people need to accept it as well. And if you struggle to tell your story about how you met Jesus, just ponder on this thought for a while. Ponder on the people who you love who don't know Jesus. And stop thinking it's going to be okay because it's not going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. Eternity is a really, really long time. You'll have actually, you won't in heaven, but in theory, you could have a really long time to wish you had done. Actually, there'll be no regrets in heaven, so you won't. But that's not a good excuse for not doing it. It's just not. And think, actually, these people need to hear. They're allowed to reject it, but at least tell them. At least tell them. So for me, I'm thinking about eternity. I'm going to chill, but I need to tell my friends about Jesus. Well, I need to tell my enemies about Jesus as well. Never mind my friends, because they need to hear as well. And the third thing that it causes me to do is this. Is, you know, I want to fully engage in eternal life. I want to live in it today. I want to fully engage totally in what it means to have eternal life. I don't need to be scared about death. Now, that doesn't mean you can be reckless, but it kind of does. You know, going down the ski slopes at 120 mile an hour, that's okay. Because if I die, I go to heaven. It's fine. I'm sorted. It's seriously. The Christians should be the most risky people in the world because their future's covered. It's sorted. You know, if God says, go and take a risk and do this, you just go, I ain't, no problem. I've got eternity, it'd be fine. Seriously. We need to embrace the risk that God calls us to wholeheartedly, because in the light of eternity, it really doesn't matter a beam. And some of you, I want to challenge some of you, you're so cautious. Stop it. Begin to live life in eternity and take the risk that God called you to do. Now, he doesn't call you to jump out of a plane without a parachute on and hope that you manage to find a tree or a big pile of snow to land in. But he will call you to do some risky things with your life. Do it. Because in the light of eternity, it's just a small length of time. Don't be safe. You're a Christian. Why did the early apostles scatter around the world, risking shipwrecks and storms and beatings and snakes and fires and everything? Why? Because eternity burned inside their hearts and they said, well, you don't care. This life is so short compared to the life that Jesus has given me. And we in the West, we live such safe lives, such risk-averse lives. We're taught from being little, don't take risks. Jesus says, take risks in me. I have you covered for all eternity. It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine. I have it covered. Christians should be the most risky people in the entire world, as long as they're following God, because they know that their eternity is covered in him. I want to live like this. I like this. Because it suits who I am. I want to take risks for Jesus. I want to encourage you to take risks for Jesus Christ in the light of eternity that is part of your life. Well, my time is gone. And I've scratched the surface of a very, very big subject. God has given you the gift of eternal life if you follow him. So, guys, let's chill with our lives. Let's tell others and let's take risks in his name. I'm going to get you to stand up. Andy's going to come and if you've not begun that relationship, Andy's going to come and he's going to do that. But if everybody stands up from the front to the back, including all you little ones at the back. Hi, Joe, you're back. Welcome, Joe. I'm going to pray for you. Now, if you all close your eyes, I want you to respond. I said there's three things, at least for me, that when I think about eternity, things I need to do. The first one is just chill and not stress so much. Some of you tonight need to put your hand up and say, God, put eternity in my life and help me not to stress. Because you know you're a stress head. You don't need anybody to tell you. You just know you're a stress head. And you need to put your hand up and say, God. You don't put your hand up yet. Just slow down. You just say, God, help me, you know, put eternity in my heart and let me see things from your point of view and help me to stop stressing, to stop worrying about it. Perhaps some of you need to say, you know, God, I need to share my faith more. Help me to see life from eternity. It's eternal life, it's eternal death. I need help there. And you put your hand up. You could put two hands up at that stage. And the third one is, you know, I need to take more risks. I need to begin to live life in all its fullness and realize that when God says, go do this, it's a risk-free option because eternity is forever and this is just a short time. So let's, with all our eyes, I'm going to close my eyes so I can't see your hands. If you want to put up all three, put up a leg as well. Hey, so if you're saying, God, I need some help. I'm a bit of a stress head. I need not to worry. I need you to turn to my heart, Father. Just put your hand up now. Father, I pray for these amazing people. Father, you know that my hand's up. Father, we need help to live life in the light of eternity so that we can put things in perspective. Father, so we can know that you've got it covered. And whatever we're going through, Father, is just a small fraction of time in eternity. It will pass and it will be fine. And one day we'll live you with you forever. And all the stress and strain and pain and everything will be gone. You have it in hand. If you need some help with eternity and telling your friends, then put your other hand up or put a hand up. Father, pray for those who put their hand up and says, hey, God, I need eternity in my heart, my soul, so that I can tell others about you. Father, I pray that you drop it in. May they realize that eternity is a long time. Father, I pray you'd show them your heart for those who don't know you, that their hearts wouldn't start being broken. Because Father, you desperately long that nobody would perish. Your word says that you long that all would be saved. It's why you haven't come back yet, so that people would find you. And perhaps some of you just need to take some more risks. Second, third hand, first hand, whatever it is. Father, pray for those who are saying, we've so far in the life have played it safe with you. Father, they put their hand up and say, God, I want to take risks for you. I want to go out, I want to take some territory. I want to go and risk my life for you to see souls saved, to see people's eternal destinies change forever. And God, I pray for those who put their hand up for risk, God, that they would go and do some amazing things for you. Father, I pray particularly, God, for the young people who put their hands up and say, God, give me risk. Give me a risk. I want to risk everything for you, God. I want to go and take the world for you, God. I pray that they would do more amazing things than we would ever believe possible, Father. But I pray for each individual, say, God, I want to risk more for you. Father, I pray, Father, give them dreams, give them hopes, give them ambitions far beyond what they can do. But they need to risk all for you. That they may see your kingdom come and incredible things done, miracles done in your name, Father. Jesus, I pray, put eternity in our hearts. Put everlasting life in our hearts, and may we never, ever be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.